is a presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Who's open for three? Angle left takes it and makes it. Fusene Traore. And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the last week of BYU basketball and look ahead to the Cougars' prospects for the postseason. Cougar Nation. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Good evening, Cougar Nation. Welcome on into your show, Cougar Nation, every single Monday night here on your legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio. I'm Mitch Harper, joined as always with Matt Biamonte. We host this show and also Cougar Sports Saturday every weekend, noon to 3 here on KSL. So much to get to in the world of BYU basketball. Cougars fall at Kansas State, but they got another Sunflower State showdown tomorrow night at historic Allen Fieldhouse as the unranked BYU Cougars take on number 7 Kansas. We'll break that down and we'll take your phone calls, 801-575-8255. But we got to start things off, Matt, with that BYU-Kansas State game, a disappointing effort in Manhattan as BYU falls 84-74.
Yeah, it was disappointing, Mitch, because this Kansas State team had been losing a lot of games prior to BYU going out to Manhattan, Kansas, and it was disappointing to see them kind of come back down to earth after such a big win against Baylor.
Let's get to the takeaways from that 10-point loss over the weekend.
Cougar Nation, takeaways. Mitch and Matt analyze BYU's last week of play and what it means for the next week.
K-State 84, BYU 74, as Matt noted. Kansas State was reeling. I mean, they had only won one game in their last six, and they took down BYU. And takeaway number one, Matt, slow start and poor three-point shooting was ultimately the downfall before BYU could catch their breath. They were down 12-2, and they shot 19% from three.
6 of 31, Mitch, and that comes after a great three-point shooting performance in a win against Baylor where you knocked down 14 threes. We talked about that a week ago. They had to make threes to upset Baylor. They did that, and then it was just a completely different team performance on the road against Kansas State. And you look at the box score, BYU beat Kansas State in a lot of areas. Less turnovers, more rebounds, more points in the paint, more bench points. But when you shoot that poorly from three, and then they fouled a lot as well, that put Kansas State on the free throw line, plus 13 there for K-State. Too much to overcome on the road.
801-575-8255. You can get on board with us, share your thoughts on this Kansas State loss, or also get involved in our question of the day. What needs to happen for BYU to upset Kansas? We'll preview that BYU-Kansas game a little bit later in the show. 801-575-8255. But yeah, that slow start was disappointing. On the heels of a big win over Baylor, you thought BYU would be a little bit more lively, a little more energetic, because honestly, Kansas State's season was on the ropes in that game on Saturday, and Tyler Perry, who was shooting 17% from three in his last three games prior to BYU, comes out and bangs the first 2 3-point attempts. You just could tell it was one of those days for BYU. I thought BYU's offense looked good. I thought they were getting good shots, but they just couldn't knock them down. And at some point, BYU has to find a way to knock down the three ball away from the Marriott Center, because they'll be an early exit in the NCAA tournament. They will be an early exit in the Big 12 tournament if they can't hit the three. I know it's cliche, live and die by the three, but it really does feel that way with BYU because they don't have the star power. At no point in this season in the Big 12 has BYU pulled down Player of the Week, Newcomer of the Week recognition. They don't have that elite star. It's a group by committee that's lifted up by three-point shooting, and if you knock down only 19%, you're going to lose to anyone, regardless if you're at home or not, especially in this league, because takeaway number two, Kansas State's Arthur Kaluma, he is becoming the BYU killer. This guy was once at Creighton. He had a career high with Creighton, 27 points against BYU in Vegas last year. On Saturday, he puts up another career high, 28 points, and joins the list of guys that always rise to the occasion against BYU.
And he went to the free throw line a lot, Mitch, 12 times. And he makes 10 of 12, double-double for Kaluma. And head coach Mark Pope was complimentary of his play because, like you said, man, he just keeps killing BYU whenever he plays them.
Well, he's a really talented player. He was great getting the free throw line tonight. He shot the ball great from the three-point line. He's really physical and explosive. He can extend the play with Euro steps and extra steps. He's a terrific player.
They got to find a way, though, to stop some of these terrific players. They're going to be playing some terrific players tomorrow against Kansas. And, again, we'll get to that preview in a little bit. But defensively, Mitch, I felt like there was a little something there to be desired defensively. I know that they didn't shoot the ball well, but they gave up 42 points in each half. And Kaluma was a big part of that, don't get me wrong. He played great basketball. But this team on the road, defensively, it feels like they're just not the same group as they are at home.
There was a stretch in the second half where Kansas State went a little bit cold, and they had a four-minute drought without a field goal attempt, or field goal make, excuse me. And yet Kansas State, despite that lull, built their lead from about 7 to, I believe it was 12, and that was the game. And I remember that was a stretch that included BYU had 3 looks at the basket. It was around the under 12 media timeout, and Dallin Hall missed one, and then Richie Saunders gets called for an over-the-back foul, and you could just tell Dallin Hall's body language. He hunches over and just out of frustration, and you could just tell it wasn't BYU's day. And,
yep.
You know, I understand there's a case of, well, it's the Big 12, it's tough winning on the road, but, you know, at one point you were viewed as, you know, a top 25 team. You're now not ranked. And you just beat Baylor. At some point, you got to break through on the road. You know, if you're going to be a team that gets the second weekend of the dance, and I know it's we're recalibrating our expectations of this BYU team, because had you told us at the beginning of the season, 7-7 heading into the final 4 games of league play, you would have said, absolutely, I'm taking that. But when you get to the heights of being number 12 in the AP poll, when you're a top 15 team in the net the entire year, you know, the bar raises a bit, and you got to play at a higher standard. And BYU is just not getting the necessary stops on the defensive end. And that's takeaway number 3. BYU's defense is not traveling on the road. You know, that first meeting against Kansas State back on February 10th, BYU comes out of that game. They were number 24 nationally in adjusted defensive efficiency. It's kind of a defensive metric to rank the best defenses in college basketball. Since that game, they're allowing 84 points per contest. They're down to number 68 nationally. BYU's defense is plummeting fast, and that's worrisome as we get to tournament season for BYU. They got to get some answers soon in a hurry, Matt, on the defensive end.
And it's 4 straight games, Mitch, where they're giving up at least 50% from the field, field goal percentage. Kansas State shoots 56%. From the field, and you touched on it with a lot of missed gimmies, and this has been a trend for weeks now where they're just missing layups. The opponents aren't missing layups, and at some point defensively, you've got to find a way to string together a lot of stops. And look, even though they held Kansas State for at least 4 minutes with no field goals in the second half, the Wildcats still pour on 42 points. It's just, the thing is, if you can't shoot the 3 ball consistently, like, and they have not done so in Big 12 play. In non-conference play, they were consistently one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the country. It's been an up and down in conference play, Mitch. And that's fine. That's somewhat to be expected, especially in a conference like the Big 12 that has very difficult places to play, which they'll find out tomorrow, right? Allen Fieldhouse, Texas Tech is hard. Iowa State, which is still to come for BYU, that place is hard. There's hard places to play. You can't always rely on 3-point shooting, but you hope to be able to rely on defense, because that it feels so often it's effort-based, it's executing the scheme, and there's too many lapses that make it difficult to win games when your shooting is not hot like it's been in some of the wins.
And what's discouraging, too, is that in this recent dip on the defensive end, it's been with their full collection of personnel. You know, Ali Khalifa's been back. Noah Waterman's back from the illness. You know, everyone's back that's contributing. Now, I know you don't have Dawson Baker and Marcus Adams, but everyone that you were expecting to be in this rotation that got you to the heights that you were at, you know, in January, they are there. And so this is the healthiest they've been in a while, and they're having these defensive lapses. And, you know, the offensive shooting, 19% from 3 was a problem, but Mark Pope, he, you know, did not blame the offense. He focused more on the defense in the loss.
We did not shoot the ball well tonight. That's never a defining feature for us, winning or losing. You know, we offset that with the 19 offensive rebounds, and so I was really pleased with our guys' effort. One of those nights in the Big 12, it's hard.
The offensive rebounding was a positive for BYU. They finished with 19 offensive boards, but they only had 14 second chance points on those offensive rebounds. And look, you can look at the offensive rebound stat and say, well, you're bricking, you're clanking on a lot of shots, so it's creating these opportunities for offensive rebounds. But when you get those chances, you got to capitalize, and BYU just couldn't finish those second chance opportunities.
And that's probably something that's maybe a bit under the radar right now. I know you've touched on this a lot, Mitch, so credit to you for pointing this out frequently, but it's a broken record now how many missed layups there are, and they're coming at such horrible times. That sequence you mentioned in the second half where Dallin Hall gets a layup, Kansas State's on a drought. Maybe that gets you going. Instead, it just piles onto the frustration. We've talked about this before in Cougar Nation. The problem with missing these gimmies is it affects the other end of the floor, because you can noticeably see the frustration on the players' faces, their body language, and then the same intensity is not there on the defensive end, and it's just this cycle that BYU finds themselves in on the road repeatedly where these things happen. They can't get out of their own way when it comes to those gimmies at the rim, and it's painful to miss those because this team is so reliant on the three-point line. When you get an easy look, you got to convert that, because there's not a lot of easy looks by design, because this offense wants to be far away from the rim.
One of the bright spots, though, from the loss was Spencer Johnson becoming a dad, which congrats to him and his wife, Izzy. And that's where we shift our attention now as we go out to the phone line. And 801-575-8255, our favorite caller on the program, Linda, she joins us now. Do you have some thoughts on Spencer Johnson becoming a dad, Linda?
Yes, I sure do. I'm really happy for him and Izzy. I was wondering if it was going to come early, if he was going to come early, the baby. And I thought it was so neat because I listened to the coach's show on Thursday night, too, and that's how I originally found out about it. And it was so funny because Coach Pope accidentally gave out the labor and delivery room. And then he says, why do I always do those things anyway? And it was kind of funny, but I'm really happy for him. And from then I heard after the game on Saturday, Coach Pope said that they were going to fly home and that they were going to go visit Spencer and his wife and the baby. And then they were going to travel today. But I thought that was really nice, though, that they could go and see the baby and go home for that, and not have to stay on the road any longer than they had to.
Thanks for the call, Linda. We appreciate that. Yeah, that was pretty cool with Spence being able to become a dad. It was his little baby, Joey Johnson, was born Thursday night, 2:22 p.m. It was cool. I was watching during practice, and I was kind of in the upper deck of practice, and I saw Nate Austin, the director of basketball operations. He got his phone and he turns to Coach Pope and looks at his phone and says, he indicates something. I couldn't tell what it was. And then Mark Pope gets the team together and kind of rallies everyone together. And Spence is on the phone on FaceTime. And he told the team that he was a dad. Him and Izzy had the baby, and they all cheered in that moment. And then Coach Pope said, let's get back to practice or something along those. I can't remember, but it was a pretty cool moment. And this team, pretty close. And, Spencer Johnson being the oldest player in college basketball, it's only fitting that he is now a father as the oldest player in college basketball. So congrats to him and Izzy on welcoming little Joey Johnson into the world. New parents for Izzy and Spencer Johnson. We got to take our first time out, though. On the other side, we'll get to the question of the day. What needs to happen for BYU to upset number 7 Kansas tomorrow night at Allen Fieldhouse? We'll take your calls, 801-575-8255. It's Cougar Nation here on KSL News Radio.
BYU fans, join me, Tim Hughes, and Amanda Dixon for stories that affect our jobs, taxes, and families. Utah's Morning News, each morning between 5 and 9 on KSL News Radio.
It's Cougar Nation, and we're breaking down the Kansas. You know what, Mitch? We're probably done breaking down the Kansas State game because that was not a pretty loss. And we'll turn the page to a fantastic game tomorrow, BYU and Kansas. Kind of a bummer that BYU dropped out of the top 25, and I was surprised by that, Mitch. The previous week, they went 1-1. Yeah, they didn't have a great loss against Oklahoma State, but they stay in. Then they have a arguably their best win of the year, and they drop out after beating Baylor at home. What'd you make of the Cougs flying out of the top 25?
I'm to the point where I want the AP top 25 and coaches polls gone from college football and college basketball, because I'll tell you, I mean, as someone who covers the beat, and you know it, going to games too, we don't got time to watch other games. Like, it's a 6-hour day. It just, you don't have the ability to watch, and you're focusing on box scores. Like, look, I'm not as high on Baylor as a lot of people are, but you saw Baylor then go blow for blow with the nation's number one team, and you're knocking BYU for losing on the road to Kansas State, who also beat the team that BYU is about to play tomorrow. That's number 7 in the country. Like, how does it make sense? I don't get it. It's just like it almost like there was BYU voter fatigue, where they were tired of voting them and said, you know what, we want someone new. Like, let's add some new spice to the bottom of the poll, and we're gonna throw in Florida and USF. Like, give me a break. Like, USF isn't better than BYU, and you know what? We'll have the NCAA tournament to prove it. And that's the thing about this sport, unlike football. And I know there's a 12-team playoff coming up in football, but we actually can play it out on the court. And that's like, okay, you're not a top 25 team by a bunch of media members. Fine. Well, you'll have your chance in the NCAA tournament. Go prove them wrong. But from a perception and a national narrative standpoint, that does matter. And even Mark Pope has acknowledged that the AP top 25 poll has a significance in that sense. But honestly, as long as the net and the KenPom ratings like you, you'll be okay, and you'll be dancing come March.
College football doesn't do a lot right, Mitch, but I think the one thing they do right is once we get to the actual CFP rankings halfway through the year, that's the ranking. And it's like, let's just use the net. The net is what is the main metric used for seeding in the tournament. Let's use the best metric that is determining for the NCAA tournament. Let's just use the net.
Right.
Get rid of the coaches. Get rid of the AP. Everything you said, I totally agree with. Let's just go to the net. Make it simple. That's the best way to do it.
Or, as the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee a couple Saturdays ago, not this past one, but the one prior, they released the top 16 teams if the bracket was that day. Why not just extend it, you know, 9 or 10 more spots and say, here's the top 26 as of today, or top 25. Yeah. And then from that, the last 6 weeks of the season, you go based off of the selection committee's rankings.
Sure.
And then it's almost like, oh, this team is number 2 in seeding. If they win this game, they could jump up to a number 1 seed. And it's actual tangible proof that has an impact on March. Because honestly, the AP poll is just getting ripped to shreds how bad it's been, where a team can climb to the top 5 and then they get destroyed on the road. Now, maybe that's just college basketball this year, where college basketball, there's no elite teams and everyone can be had on any given night on the road. But I was a little bit surprised, because you beat Baylor, who, you know, had an overtime
number
game.
Number 11 in the country, bitch.
Overtime game against Houston a couple days later. And it wasn't like BYU, you know, like they lost to Kansas State. Maybe it's just an indictment on Kansas State, how the pollsters view them. I don't know. But the thing is that the pollsters love BYU's next opponent. And, like, let's face it, college basketball loves this next opponent, because they are a blue blood. And that's the Kansas Jayhawks. And it's pretty surreal to say that BYU is in the same league as these guys. Because when you think basketball tradition and history, it rolls through Lawrence, Kansas, and Allen Fieldhouse. And that's where BYU will be tomorrow night. I will be there inside Allen Fieldhouse, having you covered here on with KSL News Radio updates and also KSLSports.com. Be inside there. Tip-off is at 6 o'clock. Pre-game begins at 5 against KU. What's going to need to happen for BYU, Matt, to upset the Kansas Jayhawks?
Before we get to my commentary, just I want to hear from BYU Nation, too, on this. 575-8255. Cougar Nation, you can chime in with our question of the day. What needs to happen for BYU to win? I had a generic response earlier, Mitch, where I'm like, oh, you got to make a lot of threes. And then I'm like, that's boring. And then it dawned on me. This is what has to happen for BYU to beat Kansas. It's simple. It's very simple. You need your point guard, Dallin Hall, to play the best game he's ever played. He needs to be the man, because there's the potential for that to happen for Dallin Hall, to be this good, really good point guard in the Big 12 who can score, who can get people involved. And what we saw against Kansas, that's not going to work. 1 of 10 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3. That was nice. He had 8 assists, but you need your point guard to score. So, for me, if Dallin Hall has one of the best games he's ever played, and he's still a young player, but if let's say he knocks down 3 or 4 threes and has 8 assists to go along with 15 points, I think BYU wins. So, to me, you need a great performance from your point guard.
Kansas comes into the game with a record of 21-6. Since Bill Self took over as the head coach in 2004, the record for Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse, 313-17. They never lose at home. They're undefeated this year, 14-0 inside Allen Fieldhouse. This was Mark Pope on the Jayhawks.
This Kansas team is Kansas. I mean, you know, Kansas, Fog Allen, probably we've been saying the same thing for the last 40 years, right? They're unbelievable, and they're big and physical and powerful and skilled and a great environment.
That is the full Mark Pope experience in one clip right there. This Kansas team, this experience. That was just so Mark Pope, vintage him on that clip. But yeah, Kansas, they're going to be without one of their top guys, Kevin McCullough. That helps BYU's efforts, but still, they got Hunter Dickinson. To answer the question, I think BYU needs an unlikely player to emerge and have a breakout game. Say a Richie Saunders goes off for 15 points. Someone unlikely on the scouting report delivers in a big way. If that happens, BYU's got a chance to go into the under 4 media timeout with a chance to make Kansas sweat and put BYU a chance to position to pull off the upset. We got to take a timeout. News, traffic, and weather next. We'll get to more of your calls here on Cougar Nation.
It's like Cougar fans come together for BYU basketball. The community gathers around KSL each morning for important news. Listen tomorrow between 5 and 9 to KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into Cougar Nation here on KSL News Radio. BYU basketball back in action tomorrow here on KSL against the Kansas Jayhawks, number 7 ranked Jayhawks. It's the first meeting between BYU and Kansas since 2019 at the Maui Invitational. First visit to Allen Fieldhouse since 1971. I swear, every Big 12 first for BYU basketball this year ties back to that 1971 season. Kresmer, Kosich, and crew played Kansas State. They played Cincinnati. They played Kansas that year. They played so many Big 12 teams. Oklahoma State as well, but they also get the Kansas Jayhawks. And BYU, all-time record against KU, 4-1. The lone win, 1960 in Provo. That was in the Smith Fieldhouse. So it's been a minute, and BYU gets the chance every year now in the Big 12 to take on a blue blood like the Kansas Jayhawks. Let's get now to our what's trending up and trending down in the world of BYU basketball as we get ready for BYU versus KU.
Cougar Nation, trending. What's trending up and what's trending down this season?
All right, Mitch, let's start things off. Let's get the negative stuff, the trending down, out of the way, and then we can have a little positivity before we get to that game tomorrow night, which you can hear right here on your legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio. Trending down for me. This guy is a potential first-round NBA draft pick. I'm talking about Jackson Robinson. His stock is soaring amongst NBA scouts, and rightfully so. He's had a great year. He's got a lot of NBA skills. One of those, Mitch, his three-point shooting. However, his three-point shooting has not been working well on the road as of late. That's why he's trending down for me. He's only made 3 of his last 21 three-point attempts in the last 3 road games. If he's going to be an NBA player, if he's going to be one of your best players, you need him to play well on the road. It's critical that Jackson figure this out before the tournament because they're not going to be at the Marriott Center anymore. They're going to be neutral site, on the road, NBA gyms. BYU needs Jackson Robinson to shoot the ball better when he's away from the Marriott Center.
That's a good poll. Do you still believe Jax is going to be a first-round pick?
I do, because his measurables are good, and that's all that matters when it comes to the NBA draft, it seems like. It's not about a 3-4-year career where you put up great numbers. It's how big's the wingspan, how big are the hands. I think Robinson will test well.
I do, too, and I think that he's probably early second, but I do think he's going to get picked because you do see that quick release, and there were moments in that Kansas State game where he was the only guy that showed up early on for BYU on the offensive end, but he has to be more efficient. That's always been kind of a knock on Jax, is there's probably not a shot from 3 that he doesn't like. Sometimes you got to rein it in, I would imagine, but hey, that's what Mark Pope pitched to him was the ultimate green light, and he's got that at BYU. For me, it's BYU's defense going back to that. I just think that there's been a lot of just wide-open looks to these teams on the road, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, and they look like world beaters against BYU. And you know that offensively, they don't have much. I mean, UCF, too, put up 88 points against BYU. These are some of the worst offenses in the league, and they're putting up big numbers on BYU. It's a concerning trend because this last four games is going to be difficult. I mean, all these next three games, Matt, BYU could lose all of them. They could lose to Kansas. Definitely lose to Kansas because they're on the road. TCU on Saturday, they're one of the hottest teams in the league right now. Iowa State might be the toughest home venue in the conference this year. They beat Houston and Kansas there. And then Oklahoma State beat you a couple weeks ago to close out the regular season. So you got to get things right on the defensive end if you're BYU. Let's look at what's trending up, though. What do you have that's moving in the right direction for the Cougars heading into this game against Kansas?
Well, you mentioned this important stretch coming up where they're 7-7. They got four games. I think 8-10, you're probably okay. 9-9, I'm feeling really good about a guaranteed spot in the tournament, regardless of what happens in the tournament. If you don't win any of them, you got work to do in the tournament. The good news for me, what is trending up? The Marriott Center home court advantage is maybe the best it's ever been. It was outstanding last week against Baylor. And we have heard multiple coaches, Coach Drew, Coach Tang, Coach Otzenberger from Iowa State. Like, we've heard a lot of these coaches mention how difficult the Marriott Center is to play, and it's given BYU a boost. You can see it statistically. You can see it in the players, the way that they play. There's an energy at which they play at home in the Marriott Center. To me, they've got to win these two home games. I know TCU's playing good ball. If you get TCU and Iowa State, that'd be a great win, Iowa State. Oklahoma State, you're 9-9, assuming you lose your road games, and you're in the tournament. So the Marriott Center advantage, it was really impressive against Baylor, and it needs to be a big advantage in these last two home games because they're winnable games. Like, I know TCU's playing well, but they're not – they're going to win the national championship. Like, that's a winnable game against TCU. And Oklahoma State, you got to beat Oklahoma State at home. So the Marriott Center home court advantage, to me, it's trending up. It's been a big boost for a team that's 14-2 at home this year.
801-575-8255. You can share your thoughts on BYU basketball or weigh in on our question, what will it take for BYU to take down Kansas tomorrow night? My trending up, Matt, is Atiki Aliatiki. I thought he gave some good minutes off the bench for BYU. 10 minutes of action, only one foul, 6 points, 3 rebounds. It could be a case of that was just a good matchup against K-State going up against a traditional big like Will McNair for the Wildcats. But I thought those were minutes that BYU and Atiki can build on heading into the home stretch that, hey, if you know Ali Khalifa and Foose, if you're not playing good defense, we're not afraid to turn to that third option in Atiki at the five. And, like, I thought that Atiki played pretty well in those minutes. And I liked the strong post grabs that he had. It was interesting, too, watching him perform on the offensive end, very similar to the moves that he always practices with Mark Pope and Colin Terry, the new assistant coach who works with the bigs. The post moves that he always works on. And look, you'd like a little bit more from Atiki in year three. You'd feel like he should probably be more of a consistent, you know, top eight of the rotation guy by now. Still young, and you hope that, you know, he sticks around with the program going forward into the future, because I just think he gives you these flashes where you go, what does that look like over the course of 30 minutes a night? Because if he can do that consistently, this guy could be a monster. So I like those minutes from Atiki, and hopefully there could be a role for him heading down the home stretch.
I like that pick a lot. And what do you think of him playing the rest of the second half? Was that just Atiki was playing well, or is that also maybe a message to Ali Khalifa that, hey, like, you got to bring it night in and night out? What'd you make of that decision?
I thought it was they needed more athleticism in the lineup. K-State, to their credit, they had some good explosive athletes, and you know BYU is never going to be known as the athletic team in the Big 12, at least not this year. And I think Atiki brings that, and that's why I felt like it was maybe a good matchup for him. I don't know if it translates to Kansas. I can only imagine what that would look like, him versus Hunter Dickinson. Like, I can't picture that, but he might give you the Hunter the five toughest fouls he's experienced this season if Atiki gets on the floor. But I thought it was the case of athleticism, but also a statement, as you alluded to, because Ali Khalifa was not playing good defense. He's got to play better on the defensive end. If you're going to stay on the floor, every minute matters, and every possession, you got to get better, because BYU's defensive numbers have dipped since his return from the flu bug. Maybe it's just coincidence, but they have regressed. So BYU's got to get better on that defensive end. And look, Atiki still had his issues defensively against K-State. It wasn't like K-State suddenly went on this massive lull when Atiki stepped in, but I did like the minutes he gave on the offensive end and some of the possessions where he's grabbing rebounds and limiting K-State to only one look at the basket.
Yeah, he might have a role to play in this game, because I think it's, to me, as we get more into the Kansas preview, and we'll do that all in this next segment as well, we can take your calls. 801-575-8255. We'd love to have a few BYU fans chime in on what this team needs to do to beat Kansas tomorrow. And you mentioned it, Mitch. Maybe Atiki is going to be that dark horse who gives you a big performance. You just can't get blasted in the paint. I know Kansas is exceptional in the paint. That's where they do the majority of their damage. But you can't get outscored by 30, 40, 50 points in the paint and beat Kansas. That's not going to happen. And maybe Atiki can help you in that regard defensively.
No question. And honestly, I just hope that BYU starts to put out a product that gives you some momentum and excitement going into the NCAA tournament, because I feel confident BYU's a lock to get to March Madness.
Still.
What
if they go 7-11 in conference play? I
still think they would get in. I do.
No
even if
way.
It was a, you don't think
really?
They would? I mean, they're sitting right now as a sixth seed potentially.
You would be putting two things so opposed, BYU and getting a friendly pick in the tournament, and then the power of the Big 12. Which one would win out, the power of the Big or the snubbing of BYU throughout the years of the tournament seed?
I think the power of the Big 12 would win out. And BYU has been an advanced metrics darling this entire year. And
the narrative, it's not in their favor right now. A lot of people are
still top
BYU stock.
Still top 15 in the net, and they're going to finish guaranteed. Even if they lost out in the regular season, they're going to finish in the top 25 of the net ratings. You're not leaving out a top 25 team from a Power 6 conference out of the field of 68. It's just not going to happen. Now, BYU, I think, to get to a comfort level of a 6 seed, a 5 seed, you got to win probably your two home games. But, yeah, I feel like BYU's
in. Oh, 5
in.
Seed. You got to win 3 of the next 4, I feel like. To get a, you think a 5 seed? Mitch,
if they go
might not have a winning record in conference. They can't be a 5
look,
seed.
Iowa State last year lost 7 of their last 10 games and got a 6 seed. This league, the committee and the metrics love the Big 12. And, look, they're going to have – it'll be interesting to see how this league performs in the NCAA tournament. I mean, there could be some early exits from this conference. It's bound to happen because some of them will face tough seed lines where there are a 7, 8, 9, not the ideal spots to get far in the tournament. But I think that BYU's in. I just think that they've already got 3 wins over teams that were AP top 25 teams. History has shown when BYU teams do that, they're not only getting in the NCAA tournament, they're advancing to the round of 32. The last 3 times it's happened, that has been the case: 2011, 2010, 1988. And BYU in each of those years won at least 1 game in the NCAA tournament. BYU's getting in, and it's just the one area where it could hurt them, where they could start to slip in a rapid manner, is if they get blown out. So if you go to Kansas tomorrow and lose by 25, well, then things, and then if you lose to TCU by 10, then things start to slip faster. But, yeah, I think BYU's in, Matt. I just do, because I think that there's a ton of respect for what BYU's built on the advanced metric side, and the Big 12 strength is going to lift BYU to where they're already a lock to me. It's a matter of working on seeding going forward.
I hope you're right, because I still feel like there's a little work to be done to guarantee it. 8-10, I think, is enough to feel good. You just win your home games, and I think you've got a shot at having a really good seed. 5, I don't know, but 6, even 6 would be nice. If you were to lock down a 6 seed going to the NCAA tournament, that'd be a really good place to be.
801-575-8255, taking our final timeout. Let's preview BYU versus Kansas. We'll share our predictions and preview the matchup as the Cougs go to Allen Fieldhouse tomorrow night.
Make sure you have the KSL News Radio app to stream BYU games wherever you go. You can also get breaking news alerts and podcast your favorite KSL show, all on one app for KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation, one more segment, and then tomorrow we'll get ready for BYU and Kansas. You can hear it right here tomorrow night on your legacy home of the BYU Cougars, the Jayhawks, and the Cougars. And one BYU player in particular, really looking forward to this game. I'm sure they all are, but Trevenel, here's his thoughts on playing at Kansas.
Yeah, it's a dream. You know, we talk about when you're a kid to go play Kansas, to be able to go and like see the history and the culture they have. It's going to be really fun. And I'm just excited to see the difference between their arena and their atmosphere compared to ours, because, you know, Jay Billis always says they have the best, you know, atmosphere, best student section in the country, but I still don't believe it.
It's going to be an epic scene tomorrow night, BYU and Kansas, 6 p.m. tip here on KSL. Pregame begins at 5 o'clock. The Cougs just completed their shoot-around inside Allen Fieldhouse, the traditional Monday night before a Tuesday game. Fans are checking out Allen Fieldhouse, the Cougar faithful that are there in Lawrence. That should be a fun setting. And, you know, there's I'm curious to see, like, all the history on display at Allen Fieldhouse. I saw that arena, the outside of it, back in September, and you just pull up to it, and it's just some rusty-looking building. It's just old, and you go, this is Allen Fieldhouse? This is the building? But, you know, it was seeing the pictures, it looks so just big and massive, and on the outside, it's just kind of humble-looking, but I can only imagine you'll just feel the history of that. I'll be inside there tomorrow. Again, I'll have updates here on KSL News Radio, KSLSports.com, so check out all the coverage. Also on social media, on X, Instagram, TikTok. Going to throw in a little more TikTok action coming here soon, so be on the lookout for that. But I just think this is going to be a fun matchup. And I got to say, too, Matt, I almost just, you know, have to pinch myself a little bit and remind myself that BYU is in the same league with this program, because I remember just as a kid watching, you know, Big 8, Big 12 games, and I remember, you know, Jacques Vaughn, Greg Ostertag, former Jazzmen playing for Kansas, and all the great players they've had, and now BYU's in the same league as these guys. It's pretty cool, but you got to remove that feel-good, nostalgic feelings about their brand and not let that jersey give you an instant L before the game even tips.
Yeah, well, luckily we don't have to do that, because we'll just be watching it. We're not playing in it. But this is the one game this is probably the one game left in the schedule, and even before the season began, where I don't even care what the outcome is. I am going to enjoy the moment. I want a good showing for sure from BYU, but it's going to be so cool to see them playing in Allen Fieldhouse. And as long as they don't get blown out by 30, I think I'm going to be okay. This does also feel like a game, Mitch, where they lose by less than 8. Is that a win? Like, does that make you feel good that you went on to one of the best and most storied programs in all of college basketball and you competed for 40 minutes and you had chances? Like, take the Baylor loss early in the year on the road at Waco and insert that here. Would you feel good about a BYU performance?
I would, because I think, you know, the national narrative would be like, oh, wow, BYU's a lot better than we thought. They hung tough with Kansas in Allen Fieldhouse. We know how this college media narrative stuff works. People would give BYU a lot of pats on the backs and moral victories. Now, Mark Pope and players would hear that and say, get out of here, guys. Like, we don't want none of that action. We want to go in there and win the thing. But, you know, history shows under Bill Self, and honestly, since Roy Williams, the last 30-something years of Kansas basketball, they never lose at Allen Fieldhouse. And Bill Self, only 17 home losses since he became the head coach in 2004. This was Mark Pope on Bill Self and just the impact he has in the Big 12 in college basketball.
Yeah, I think clearly he's been unbelievable for this league. You know, it's interesting when we're on a call and we're dealing with issues, like, he's the first one to speak up, and he's clearly spent a ton of time thinking through the periphery issues, meaning some vague possibility with rules change, and he'll come into the conversation with, like, you know, with four different things that need to be considered. And you know, he's clearly set the benchmark here. I don't know what, you know, his numbers are just, he wins every single year He wins the league conference championship, right? And so you look down through this league, and the coaches are just incredible. And certainly he's one of the best coaches, most successful coaches in the history of college basketball. And he's right here still doing it. It's pretty great.
Kansas will be shorthanded tomorrow. They don't have Kevin McCullough, their leading scorer, 19 points a game for him. He's out with a bone bruise in his knee, but they didn't have any issues against Texas over the weekend. Nick Timberlake, a transfer from Towson, he's got 94 career starts. He'll likely start against BYU. Good athlete. He had a huge alley-oop dunk over Dylan Dessou on Saturday. Kansas, though, is not deep, Matt, and if you can get Hunter Dickinson, maybe two quick fouls, that could be a game changer because Dickinson is the star of this group with McCullough out.
That should be the scouting report. Just attack the rim, which that might not bode well because, look, it's no secret on the show. I think the Big 12 officiating is a joke. I think it's really poor to be the supposed best league in college basketball and have such poor officiating. It's inexcusable and it needs to be fixed. But, man, if you could get him in trouble, that would be a massive advantage. It'll be really interesting to see how this BYU team attacks Kansas. Cannot wait, Mitch. It's going to be so fun. And have a great time at Allen Fieldhouse.
I cannot wait. Hopefully Cougar Nation is there and making their presence felt inside Allen Fieldhouse. I know it's going to be a sellout, but there were some tickets available a couple days ago. Hopefully Cougar Nation gobbled those tickets up. So we'll talk to you later this Saturday on Cougar Sports Saturday. Then I'll be inside Allen Fieldhouse with all the coverage from BYU and Kansas here on KSL News Radio.